Welcome to Shri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Shri and Kira.
Well, namaste, beloved ones, and welcome to the voice of passionate action, Shri and Kira Live.
I am wisdom teacher Shri Ram Ka.
And I am Kira Ra. And hey, guys, before we get started today, I really want to invite you to join us on Twitter. Hey, you probably didn't even know we were on Twitter, but we know that we can't get to everybody during the show, and we always want to say hello. And so why not say hello to us using our Twitter handle, which is simply at Shri and Kira. And remember, you can also use the hashtag Shri and Kira Live so we can read your tweets later. And if you're a Facebook user, say hi to us at facebook.com, Shri and Kira Official, because, you know, we love hearing from you guys. And if you join our Twitter community or our Facebook world, lots more we can share with you beyond our Sunday shows.
I have some colloquialisms that I will type.
Oh my goodness. Hashtag Shri and Kira.
Hashtag OMG.
But actually, it's hashtag Shri and Kira Live. I messed that one up. OMG.
OMG.
Hey, welcome. I'm loving today's show, Shri, because we're continuing a deep journey into multidimensional communication and what it's like to bring forth these messages with integrity, what it's like to receive these messages. You know, in the world, there is just a plethora of messages out there right now. We're really diving into the meat of this information.
Well, it was last week we had Steve and Barbara Rother on the show.
And if you didn't catch that show, it's also now live at YouTube, along with right here in the archives at BBS and at ShriAndKiraRadio.com.
And Steve and Barbara have, for the last 20-plus years, have been bringing through wonderful messages from a collective of entities that are simply call themselves the group.
The group. I love the group.
And as we have traveled over the years, we've met so many people who are in touch with these other spaces.
Indeed.
These other zones, you might call them. And for many people, this comes as second nature after a while. But for many other people, it's still rather mysterious.
Mm.
And the whole phenomenon of channeling, of bringing through information that seems to be localized elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet offers incredible perspectives on our here and now.
Very, very much so. And you know, one of the things, Shri, I know when we ventured out, we've been out in the world now for 12 years with the messages that we're so blessed to have come through us. And there is a sense of community, I guess, let's say, among those who this is our life. You know, one of the things, Shri and I are in the middle of a beautiful event down here in Guatemala right now. We have some beautiful people here, literally from all over the world right now. And one of the blessings is that there is a community of integrity, that when you are bringing through these messages with integrity, when you're bringing through these messages with the intent of world service, like you and I, this is not our career. This is our life.
Yes.
You know, this is 24/7, 365. This is our life. And it takes support through many different means to continue. You know, you and I have met some beautifully gifted people who could not find that support, that are simply no longer bringing forward information.
Yeah, it's an interesting world, because spiritual information for a long time seemed to be part of the jurisdiction of spiritual organizations.
Well, very true, just like a religion.
and while there's beauty and wisdom in world religions, there's also beauty and wisdom in universal spirituality.
Well, absolutely.
And the notion and truth that the divine is available to all.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that we always love sharing is take on the Gandhi quote that, you know, at this point, there's over 7 billion points of light. Oh, my goodness. That was Bartley, our French bulldog, who is thinking that we're not giving him enough time. Talk about a point of light that is looking for attention. But, you know, in a way that's very symbolic as to what's happening on our planet right now is that there are as many teachers as there are students, and there are as many students as there are teachers, and all of them are coming forward right now, which is really inviting us to a level of spiritual discernment.
Spiritual discernment is truly the magic phrase, because in our world today, we're witnessing in the outer world so much conflict.
Yeah.
It's certainly evidenced in the political system in the United States.
Sure.
It's evidenced in the inter-country conflict, inter-religious conflicts in the Middle East and other locations. And while some would just say, well, it's been going on for centuries,
yeah,
I would say, why not deal with it now?
Well,
why not confront this now? Why
you know,
wait?
Well, there's always a why wait. You know, we're it seems that we're always at the ultimate if not now when moment. And there's so many fascinating stories. And hey, guys, remember that this show is live. The lines are open. If you want to jump in the queue, I know we already have people on hold, but you know, jump in the queue, ask your questions, because we have an amazing guest. I mean, I cannot think of a more perfect person to be with us today to really talk about what it's been like to sustain these messages and to bring these messages out and the dedication that it takes.
Well, absolutely. Because I remember some years ago as strange things were happening in my life.
Strange days indeed. And, I have the doors floating in my head right now, Sri.
Well, let's just say that experiences were happening that were profound and wondrous.
Mm-hmm.
And I began looking for others who were having these experiences.
Yes, yes.
And it's a challenging thing. There are certainly some expos out there that have some sincere people and some strange people. And, you know, you get the whole gamut.
Well, that's the gift, because it helps us grow our spiritual discernment.
But I remember in the... it's almost 20 years ago now.
Don't admit that.
Well, it was. Discovering the Sedona Journal of Emergence.
Yeah.
And the Sedona Journal of Emergence has been a steady beacon.
Truly.
You know, offering an assembly, a collecting point for these channeled messages. And we're delighted today. We have the founder and the publisher, Melody Orion Swanson, who has demonstrated incredible tenacity.
Oh, you know, I can't even imagine what this woman has done, not only keeping this magazine going for so long, but so beautifully. This magazine is a work of art. I mean, every month it's a work of art.
Absolutely. And as she has proudly printed on her masthead, the intent of the Sedona Journal is to celebrate our emergence into multidimensionality and bring forward information about the truth of our eternal nature.
How beautiful. I mean, really, how beautiful, because it's not just words. In other words, what Melody has done is this is not just words.
No,
she proves it every day.
And her vision and her insight have provided this medium for channelers, for channeled information, for inspiration to be shared with the world.
Yeah.
And so,
and truly the world. She has a wonderful worldwide distributorship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so we want to honor Melody and the Sedona Journal and welcome Melody Orion Swanson to the show.
Welcome, Melody.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. We're glad to have you with us.
And so I just need to ask you, because it's in the top of my mind right now, Melody, how long have you been doing this, really?
Well, I started the company in the Harmonic Convergence 1987. So that's August 1987. The magazine didn't really get going. It came out like one issue every time I could get a few dollars to put it out. But it started monthly, I think, in February 1991.
Wow. Wow. That is just awesome. I mean, it's really been going steadily ever since then. And I just have to ask, because I'm sure everyone's out there wondering, okay, we know that the Harmonic Convergence was an extraordinary event. What happened? What said inside of you, I'm going to do this? Because this is just amazing what you've created. What inspired you to bring this forward?
Well, I've always wanted to get the teacher and the student together. I first joined, like everybody else, I think, my age, the ARE was the beginning point. I joined their group in 1969. And over the years, I had, in my house in Miami, I had an organization called Mandalama, and I would bring in spiritual teachers, Dean Houston, Satchidananda, Zen, Roshi's. You could get a certificate in Gestalt psychology by going to workshops there. You could get a master's degree in psychology by going to workshops there. Mm-hmm. And then when the neighbors got a little upset, several
I bet
years
that's
later,
a story.
I would hire colleges and have events. I would hired the Opera Center in Miami, I remember, and had Ram Dass. Always it was the idea that there were teachers out there with wisdom and there were people who needed that information. And I saw myself as the connection point, as the facilitator of that. So we had a newsletter with Mondo Lama. I think it went out to 14,000 people when it eventually stopped. So
clearly a lifelong...
There's a lot of history here. I don't know how to condense it.
Well, no, but wow. I mean, I'm sitting here holding so much appreciation for you because that's a lot of work. I mean, what you were doing was a lot of work. And so I need to ask, what happened in your life? Is there a story in your life that inspired this mission in you? I mean, did you always just know this is what you were going to do?
Oh, no. Until 1969, something must have happened. I don't have a specific event. But, you know, everybody was waking up. That was the first wave. Before that, I was totally, absolutely, I walked out of the church because I said, you don't know your ancient history. You're lying to me.
Good for you.
I had no spiritual awareness whatsoever. I mean, just daily life. And then there was, in the 60s and the 70s, we had visions. Everything was happening then.
Yes,
it was an absolutely amazing time, and it went slowly. At first, I think we taught meditation for ARE, mm-hmm. and it just sort of blossomed after that. In 1985, I knew I had to quit my job in Miami, but I didn't know why or where I was going. And through a series of events that are so strange, but I won't go into them, I ended up in Sedona, Arizona, and I knew I had to be there, but I didn't want to because there was no water there. I love to live by the water.
Oh.
So, and then I fell into it. I helped somebody came to me and said, I want to buy a printing press, but I don't have any money. Will you sign for me? And naively, I did. And then they left town, and suddenly I had a printing press I had to pay for.
And well, the universe is always interesting.
So I started a printing company in my garage. I knew nothing about printing. I'd never been in a printing shop. But then I saw that as a way that maybe eventually I could start some type of publishing company. And it took years to get going, but it did.
So were the first magazines printed, or are they still printed by you? I didn't realize that you had had a printing press or went through that process.
Oh, yes. I've always printed everything that I publish, all the books that I publish, every magazine.
Wow.
Now I'm in Flagstaff, Arizona, and the printing presses are there in the same building where we produce the magazine, and we ship it, we account for it. Everything is done right there.
Wow. I had no idea. Yeah. That's an enormous amount of work. Now, how about it? You obviously must have been able to attract to you people that could assist you with this, because it sounds like you had to learn this from the ground up. It was just kind of like the universe said, okay, you're going to sign for this printing press and this is your future. And then all of a sudden there's your future. And you really turned that into an extraordinary gift for mankind. Did you find that you were able to attract people you needed to assist you?
You know, I did. I think we all had an agreement beforehand because my wonderful editor, Margaret Pinion, my first typesetter, Michael Tyree, authors would show up and my legal name is Orion, and they would walk in the door and say, so-and-so, whoever they channeled, told me to find Orion. I mean, my best job-getting thing was... from outer space, I think.
I love it.
They would just say, you know, I was told to come here, and it just sort of grew organically.
Well, you've become the antenna.
In so many ways. And now you've grown to the web. And then you're now in Spanish. How did that come to be?
Well, that wasn't such a good idea. I didn't do due diligence. I had to stop that. We still have 5-6 books in Spanish, but I had to stop the magazine because I don't speak Spanish. I just thought that they would want to. I thought there was a market out there, but I don't know how to reach it. So maybe someday we can start up again with someone who actually understands Spanish, you know, who can start that division or something.
Right, right. You know, over the years, you've had the opportunity then to work with many different authors, many different channelers. And I presume this has really forced you to hone your discernment skills. Do you find that you get a lot of submissions that you feel should not be printed? Or do you believe that if they show up, they get printed? How do you do that?
Well, I'm much more discerning now. When I first started, I was more impressed with the channels than what they wrote. And some of my early books were published based on the charming personality of the channels. But now I'm much more discerning, right? I read everything that goes in the magazine because I don't want anything doom and gloom or fluffy or dishonest or... there's a sense, I think, of what goes in. And we get tons of submissions. But we publish, you know, what we have a small staff, so we do the magazine 2 weeks, and then we work on books 2 weeks, and then we work on magazine 2 weeks. So we can't publish that many books, but we consistently try to pick out the best ones, or I do.
Well, that's a commitment. What a beautiful commitment.
Well, indeed, it's taking responsibility for your role as editor, publisher.
Absolutely.
And I know that the one thing I have to admit is I do remember the period you're talking about. I was just waking up to what was going on in the late 60s and early 70s, and with, you know, reading Timothy Leary and Ram Dass and being ignited in that time was an amazing experience for me in my life. However, I look at my children and what they went through in their college years and their so-called waking up years, and I don't see the same zeal in that generation, at least the ones that I was close to. I was wondering if you have a perspective on that.
I do. It seems that the most... intense energy of waking up was that first wave in the late 60s and the 70s. And then it got really quiet for a while. Then in the 80s, I think like the late 80s, then there was another wave. And now it's like, all right, this is the third and last wave. So wake up or else.
Yeah, but I love the way you phrase that.
Well, that I agree with you. That, yeah. That feels congruent with what I've witnessed, that we're at the time with so many crystalline ones taking birth, and that our world is seeing more polarity and turbulence than ever before.
Well,
and that's a sign of the mix.
Well, and that was also just, you know, I think I mentioned the other day that on Huffington Post, they had published this article where there was a study that was just recently done that said that Americans have reached the highest state of polarity ever. And so, you know, certainly talking about it's like, okay, there was this wave, then there was this second wave, now we're in this third wave or out, makes complete sense because that is where we're at. I feel, you know, Sri and I have joked about this more than once, Melody, that I feel that our generation has unfinished business. And that's what we're busy doing is assisting that because things did go quiet for a little while.
Yeah. And that there's a whole, you could call it the wave that needs midwifing, that needs nourishment. I think there's a lot of seeds planted out there and a lot more watering still to be done.
Well, according to the channel that I talked to last week or talked with the being through the channel, it's a galactic thing. We were supposed to be ready 2 years ago, so there's some intense catching up that we have to do right now.
Well, procrastination is a wonderful motivator sometimes. You know? When we say you're at deadline, okay.
It is very much a galactic issue. Now, yes. Absolutely. You know, one of the gifts is that we are being invited to remember ourselves beyond this one world allegiance. And I have to smile because on a density level, we're already starting having people kicking and screaming about becoming a global community, much less the greater universal community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's past invited, though. I think it's a process that is going on that we can't stop. We can cooperate with it or we can resist it, but it's not in us to stop it.
Agreed. Absolutely.
It's tough to change a rising tide.
Indeed. No, I 100% agree.
You know, we have a caller standing by. I think let's take a moment and welcome Brian from Michigan to the show.
Namaste, Brian. Welcome back. Are you there, Brian? Okay. Well, Doug, our producer, I'll just make a note that we can't hear Brian.
He just texted me. He dropped off, so that's okay.
All right.
He'll come back if it's meant to come back.
Absolutely.
So instead of that, what I'd like each and every one of you to do right now is to take a beautiful deep breath in. Let it out with love and a beautiful, graceful sigh. We're going to take a little station break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up our conversation with Melody and discussing really the emergence of multidimensional realities on
this planet.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Self-Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Vesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process. And then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember. Allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful Ascended Mastery program of the Violet Flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go, and then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriandKira.com. That's SriandKira.com. Namaste. Namaste, beloved one. This is Kira Ra, and I am inviting you to take a journey of the soul in the land of the heart. Imagine your life free from chaos and filled with creative clarity. Imagine waking up each day in your private lakefront casita, greeted by brilliant sun, flowers, and birds. It is here that you will effortlessly resurrect your divine blueprint in pristine energy. Yes, I am inviting you to join us for a personal resurrection vacation retreat at beautiful Lake Atitlan, Guatemala. Here, you can rejuvenate your life as you indulge in Tosa Spa cuisine, private healing sessions, yoga, tai chi, meditation, and loving support. Imagine enjoying pure air, zero noise pollution, and endless stars in this ascended nirvana. The time is now to claim your true joy. Learn more by visiting SriandKira.com and just click on the Resurrection Vacation Treat page. Tosa La Laguna, healing lives, healing hearts. We welcome you home.
The path of self-ascension is a conscious decision that brings your life experience into alignment with soul consciousness, the rare gift of an active approach to living in the heart and manifesting the present moment. Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra invite you to visit Self-Ascension Magazine, a free online self-ascension hub that lifts your spirits and frees your heart to soar. On the Self-Ascension Magazine website, you can read Sri and Kira's perspectives on what's happening today. Discover a daily meditation and weekly practice. Watch special video and audio clips. Follow Kira Ra's messages from the Archangelic Realm and learn about upcoming events or courses. Relax and enjoy a visit to Self-Ascension Magazine online at www.sriandkira.com. Explore, participate, and unfold this rare treat for yourself. Remember, that's sriandkira.com.
Welcome back. We are delighted that you have chosen to be here now.
You know, Sri, that sounds like somebody else's line.
I like to steal some things.
Oh, well, you love Ram Dass. We know that.
I do indeed. And to all of our listeners, I want to remind you that we're discussing channeling and metaphysical contact. And our guest today is Melody Orion Swanson, who is the founder and publisher of the Sedona Journal of Emergence. And for those of you that don't know, the Sedona Journal can be found in the magazine stands. You can also find it online, www.sedonajournal.com.
Go there, check it out, because you'll really be pleased with what you discover.
One of the things that I want to mention about Melody's magazine and that reflects our world so beautifully is there's a wide variety of information in the Sedona Journal.
Absolutely.
The channeled information covers so many topics, and yet each and every one of those articles reminds us to remember.
Yes.
You know, it invites our discernment because you may not agree with everything. You may not understand with everything, and yet just reading it, just tuning in with it, awakens a discernment factor inside.
Well, you know, it does. And if you have any questions or you want to just say hello, remember, join our Twitter feed. You can join us at Sri and Kira is our Twitter handle, just simply at Sri and Kira. You can also use the hashtag Sri and Kira Live so we can read your tweets later, ask us questions, or go to Facebook.com, Sri and Kira Official.
And so one of the things that is near to my heart is the capacity to let go and receive these messages. And what I mean by that is that many people have learned how to set aside their, you could call it their ego, you could call it their controlling energy and their consciousness, and allow inspired information, allow multidimensional beings to offer either words or writings through them. And one of the things that I want to ask you, Melody, is are you able to recognize a channel now, a channeler? I mean, you've met so many people who have brought this in.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and Melody's had, if you weren't with us in the first half of the show, then go back and listen. But, you know, Melody said she started out with ARE, which for those of you that don't know is the Edgar Cayce Group. And that was a very profound opening.
Yeah, Edgar Cayce was certainly one of the most famous channels.
Absolutely.
Especially coming from North America. But really, I guess the question I'm asking, Melody, is over the years, have you found that there are certain attributes that you recognize in people that are doing this?
No, because it runs a whole gamut. Some of them start out, I've seen channels who were so excited with the energy of it that they wouldn't let go of it, and they'd burn themselves. They'd use it for their life, their personal life. They burn themselves out. And it's if you're a true trance channel, like Robert Shapiro, like Arthur Fanning, like Lee Carroll, like I'm assuming you two, although I'm not as familiar with you two, It takes, you die every time you leave the body. I mean, it's
exactly right.
It's leaving permanently. And there's wear and tear on the body. So for those who are really dedicated, you can't do it forever.
That is true. And, you know, it's so funny that you would mention that, Melody. We actually just released a book called, it's an ebook at Kindle called Kira's Cure. And it talks about how important it is to pay attention to that aspect of your spiritual life, because the body is just in a different zone, I guess.
Well, you know, when you run high voltage through a vessel that was designed at a different frequency, it tires it. It wears it.
Yeah.
And our nervous system needs needs nourishment and needs a reboot from now and now.
Well, you know, I guess one of the questions I have, Melody, is I know when Sri and I first started having these experiences for myself, I honestly used to giggle and tell people that I was the idiot savant of this because I had never heard of it. I had no idea what was happening. And God bless Sri, who did and was able to basically hold my soul, because you're right. You essentially die every time you offer a channel. And there was a sense of what is this, and a sense of how does this come to be? And I think that as we have more people who become exposed to this, I know we still get the letters from people that say, you know, how do I know this is real, or what's happening? And how do you handle those types of questions? Do you ever, I mean, you probably don't get those questions anymore, but how would you handle those among people that were not sure naive? Yeah.
I'd look at the quality of the information and of the feelings and of the things that you're sort of influenced or prodded to do. One of the most evidential ones I ever had was in Sedona. A woman in a van came up in my driveway and said she was a friend of a friend of a friend and wanted to stay. I wanted to know if she could stay for the weekend, and I said, of course. And she said, I want to talk to you. She said, there's some guy in my head named Joe Cool, and he talks a lot. And so I said, well, why don't you bring him in and let me talk to him? And it turned out to be Dwal Cool, but she had no context. She had no references. She'd never heard of any of this. And
right.
I thought that was very evidential. But it's the content and the feelings that you get. If they're benevolent, enjoy it. You know, let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If they're not, then shut it down.
Well, that's really wise advice.
It is that simple. And you do have dominion. You can indeed shut
it
down.
You are in control. Absolutely.
And I think we've had many students and people visiting us that say, no, I'm being haunted by these voices. And we need to remind them that they have the power to command the light in that regard. And one of the things I also want to do right now is welcome back our caller who dropped off a minute ago.
Oh, okay.
Found his way back in. So let's bring Brian into the conversation. I know he has a couple of questions to.
Sure. Well, welcome back, Brian. Namaste.
Hey, I just wanted to be here with you guys today again. I've definitely had a great week, and I hope you guys have too. So my question is more about connection than it is, and how our connection, those of us who choose to bring in the light, how that varies from channeling. After hearing a lot about channeling, I'm pretty sure that I don't want to be a trance channel. But I do often connect to the light. I began following many of the spiritual practices of Father Yod, his name Jim Baker, who passed in 1975, and the Source family for many years. And through those experiences with those types of spiritual practice and meditation, I learned how to bring a huge amount of light energy into myself, into Earth, into the solar system, into the universe. And I think that's my gift. Trance channeling, although I have had experience with some channel, and I did learn to shut off voices because I didn't feel that they were productive. I felt that I was more looking to channel God. So I just wanted to bring that in and see what you guys had to share about that.
Well, I appreciate that you gave us a call today and to share all of that. And, you know, one of the things, Brian, that as you're sharing that touches me deeply is I feel your sincerity. And, you know, one of the messages that has come through more than once is about sincerity, love, and presence. That when we offer, remember that we become the vessel. These messages are never about us. You know, it's like we believe me, I never sat down one day and said, I want to be a channel. Like I said, I didn't even know what channeling was, much less what was happening. And so the key is, where is your sincerity? Where is your love? And where is your presence? Because that is how we stay connected, through our sincerity, our love, and our presence. There is a plethora of beings on the planet right now that are in love with the fascination of the experience. That is when we are really volatile. That's when we're exposed to energy that is less than of the highest, because we're doing it for the sake of the ego versus relaxing and allowing this gift to come through us.
You know, Brian, one of the things I want to share with you, and then I'll invite you to clear the line, and we'll see if someone else would like to get on board here, is to simply honor yourself. As you shared with us, you made a decision. You were clear that your role was to run light and to be that vessel.
And it was a sincere decision.
And goodness, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, each of us, I think, came forward with a sacred mission. What our earthly brain doesn't really know is how that's going to play out.
Indeed.
because when we take birth here, you know, the chips on the game board look a little different when you're in the body than when you're not.
And you know, Brian, just a final reminder of something that I'm sure you're already so clear on is, spirit always keeps us on a need-to-know basis. You know, a lot of times if we knew what we were saying yes to, we wouldn't. You know, and I'm thinking about Melody's signing off on a printing press and wound up producing a magazine. You know, it's like, so spirit always keeps us on that need-to-know basis. And we are loved so much that we are always cradled into what is in alignment with our sincerity, love, and our presence. You know, we just had this conversation this morning with some students that we have here with us in Guatemala right now, and discussing the fact that, you know, there are people that say, I want to see God. I want, you know, and they stamp their feet and say, I want to see an angel right now. I want to know this is true. Well, we are loved so much that if this type of experience just happened, number one, your nervous system would blow up. Number two, some people would have literal heart attacks. And so even though the mind may not always want to be wrapped around what's happening, we all have the capacity through our sincerity, our love, and our presence to remain connected and to get out of the way of what the ego wants and allow ourselves to be available for spirit. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. So thank you, my love, for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your sincerity, love, and presence with us today. Many blessings, beloved one. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Angel. Namaste.
Do I have time for another question, or am I done?
I think, Angel, we're going to have to say goodbye, but call us again next week.
Oh, absolutely. Have a great week.
Okay, Angel.
All right. Many
bye-bye.
Blessings.
Bye.
You know, one of the Melody, I just want to come back to something you shared earlier, where you said this lady drove up to you, and
with Joe Cool. I love that story. I love that story.
When you said Joe Cool, I got the picture of the Camel cigarette commercial guy. And then,
well,
said,
Dwal Cool can be very cool.
However, when you have opened yourself up in the way that you have, meaning I will be a gateway,
yeah,
is what you've said.
How welcoming and beautiful.
To the universe.
Yeah.
I'm a gateway person, and I'm going to provide, you know, the antenna, as I joked about earlier. Well, I imagine you must have had other people come to you rather insistent. Is that true?
There have been so many. I don't deal really in person anymore. Everything that we get is over the internet
email.
Now. Mm-hmm. Everything comes on email. I actually rarely see anyone come into the office anymore. It's a delight when people stop by to visit me. But almost everything new now, thank goodness, so I'm not influenced by the channels anymore, comes in. In a form, you know, that either it's a manuscript mailed or it comes in on email. But there's something else I want to say about channeling. Channeling is something that's available to every human. Those who have studied and sort of fought against the tide have been the way showers, the ones who did it first, like you and many, many, many others. But when we're born, we are that. We're open. We see angels. We know. We remember. And what's happening now is that we are literally being forced to wake up, to regain what we had when we were born. to remember who we are, because I don't want to get into too much of it, but one of the channels I work with the most is Robert Shapiro, and we have been working together since 1986 or 7, and we published about 30 books from his channelings, and to summarize it, all humans are the explorer race. We're here for a particular purpose, learning how to slow creation down so that we can understand it and understand the consequences. And that school is over now. We're being sort of pushed hurriedly into the next level of reality. But to get here, we had to leave our memories at the gate. There's a veil around this planet. And slowly now, that veil is thinning, and we're regaining our memories. We could not face the suffering and the violence, the discomfort that we live with on this planet without having forgotten who we are. We wouldn't be engaged in war if we knew that the guy on the other side maybe was our mother last time, or our friend or our lover. I mean, we couldn't have gone through what we've gone through if we knew who we were. Other beings look at us in absolute amazement. If they had one tiny percentage of the discomfort that we live with here, they would die. They cannot handle it. But all of that is ending now. We are waking up to remember who we are before we came here for all the rest of our incarnations and awarenesses. So, I mean, it's an incredibly exciting time to be here, but let's wake up quickly so we can stop the violence.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Birthing is not real comfortable.
Exactly. Yeah, please.
One of the things that and maybe it's because I spent so many years as a psychologist, is it seemed to me that one of the great teachers is pain. When people are to have discomfort, when they have friction in their lives, they pay attention. They look more deeply, and it stimulates a spiritual search in many folks. And I look out at our planet today, and while I see so many points of light, I see so many beings of that are closer to their authentic alignment with who they are, yet I also see so much pain.
Yeah.
And you talked about the warring energies and the suffering. It seems that there are indeed forces at work that would like to keep us hypnotized, that would like to sustain that veil.
And there are
the forces of awakening.
Absolutely. And the gift is that through publications, especially the Sedona Journal of Emergence, through people that have dedicated their lives to really keep walking, you know, like you and I, this is our life, or lots of the people that Melody has mentioned. As a matter of fact, Robert's going to be on the show. Robert Shapiro will be on the show with us in just 2 weeks. There's so much that is available, and this is the time of discovering it. And so if you're listening to the show right now and you're saying, hey, I'm familiar with all of this, why not perhaps share with a friend or offer someone the gift of an invitation? We never force anything, but perhaps the invitation to expand.
Well, it's a beautiful question. How do we nourish the awakening? How do we encourage what is emerging? That which is being birthed needs protection.
Yes.
It needs encouragement. It needs to be championed. And that which is falling away, we need to let it go.
Absolutely.
And I like our beautiful caller, Brian, who said, well, I send light into the earth. I send light to those around me. Bravo.
Yeah. Well, the key is to do it from the level of your own sincerity, love, and presence.
And if you are one of those people that are sitting on the fence, it's time to end the discomfort. Get off that fence.
Because that can hurt.
Because you have a heart, you have arms, you have a voice.
Indeed. So Melody, you know, I need to ask, I am sure over the years, was there ever a time when you just thought, why am I doing this? And did you ever want to stop? Or how has it been? How has that ride been since 91 when you really got going?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. And when people say, why don't you retire? I go, what would I do? I'm doing what I want to do now, so why would I stop? I never really got that disillusioned. It was difficult, very difficult, because I didn't have any money when I started. I maxed out my credit cards, but all is well now. So,
well, that's what credit cards are for. To fuel us on the way.
Right.
Well, but truly, I think one thing I just want to echo back to you is it seems to me that you've been a person that has had that inner clarity since the get-go of what was right and what was not right, you know, for yourself, and choosing to host all of those seminars and growth opportunities in Florida, and moving forward to publishing the channeled information and
following your heart. I mean, she moved from Florida to Arizona, and it didn't even have water.
You know, I'm reminded, I grew up on the water, and I was out on my boat one day meditating, and the voices said, "Go to the desert." And I kind of paused, and then the next day I went back and I reconnected with my guides, and I heard again, "Go to the desert." And I said, "When?" And they said, "Now." And I thought, well, my boat's not going to get me there.
No, but you're so good. You're such a good student.
So I parked the boat, filled up my backpack, and
took off to Tucson.
I went off to Arizona. Now, I don't know if people still just stick their thumb out and hitch a ride these days, or if they do it virtually through the internet. But what I was told, and what I want to share with you, Melody, is that going to the desert for me was about clarity. It was about bringing forth that mental clarity and bringing balance to myself as a person, moving from the water energy to the desert energy. And I kind of smile when I hear you say that because of my personal story, but also you ended up in Flagstaff then. So you've got the mountains working too.
Yeah, that's a beautiful energy up there. I mean, are you now? I guess you've been there a long time, so you've found your peace with the water.
Well, I go to Miami and to Hawaii when I can get away. But what I was told, I don't remember by who, but through our Robert Shapiro, was that Sedona is it has like an astringent energy. It pulls things from you that you don't need anymore. And after I'd been there 13 years, I remember that when I first got there, I had Sunday Night Salon. Every Sunday night for years and years and years, you would go to a channeling at my house or someplace I rented in Sedona from 87 till the middle 90s, I think. And at some point, I didn't notice it, but one of the beings talking to me through Robert said, "Have you noticed that you've become a hermit? You don't go out, you don't talk to anybody, you go home." And I realized that that's the way it was. And they said, "Well, everything that you wanted to lose is gone now, and you're trying to protect what's left." So she said, "Go to Flagstaff." She said, "Flagstaff has the mountains and the trees." She said, "It's wonderful, nurturing energy." And
right.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is just marvelous up here. It's sort of a mini paradise.
It is. Flagstaff is beautiful. I completely agree.
And it reminds me, you know, oftentimes people will ask the question, well, where should I be? Where am I to move to? And you just shared some wisdom there. When it's time to go, it's time.
Exactly.
And how much is enough? It depends on the person. It depends on their needs and what you needed to resolve and release. Other people are needing to take an energy from a certain area or to reconcile something. But we are indeed creatures of movement. And whether your physical body stays anchored in one spot or not, I invite everyone listening to keep moving.
Well, you know, movement is life. And as long as we are in form, we are evolving, we are growing, we are expanding, we are contracting, we are experiencing. And that's part of the gift, is that part of the experience is also to discover our multidimensional beingness. And, you know, I love, Melody said earlier, that, you know, like it or not, we're here. Right? We're here. We're in this moment. And so this expansion is upon us. It's how we navigate the expansion that's really the great choice right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And welcome. Yeah. The thing is to welcome it. welcome the possibility and the potential and the, like, as you said, the expansion, right?
That sounds like a loving, fearless embrace.
I love that. I love that. All right, I'm running up right now, and I'm fearlessly embracing. I love it.
Because indeed, you know, we are as souls, we are travelers, and we have explored so many densities, so many frequencies, and now as we're returning on our journey, bringing back with us the wisdom gathered, bringing back with us the recognition, it is time to share.
It is. And so, Melody, I have a question for you. You've got so many years of wisdom. You're so clear on your journey. What advice do you have for people that are just waking up, that are just connecting? What would you offer to them that might help them move along?
I think the best thing they can do is find someone like them, because a support group is the most important thing. You learn from each other. You support each other. It's more real when you share it with someone else. And
well,
if you don't
true.
Have that, maybe put some time into looking for it. But love it. Trust it. Be aware that it's a special thing that's happening to you, that you only get to wake up once, so enjoy it.
Really well said. That is so true. And, you know, I really want to echo what Melody just said. It is really important that when you discover that this is happening, when you're having these experiences, rather than sit at home in doubt or wondering, and if you're listening to this show right now, you're already finding people that can assist you. You're finding community through listening. Reach out, find others, maybe start your own group, but reach out and try to be with other people who can assist you to grow.
One of the things that we've observed is that if you hang around with people who are drowsy, you yourself will get sleepy.
Indeed. and it's hard to be in a room of sleepy people and not fall asleep.
And if you hang around with those that are carrying the energy of awakening, then you yourself will be more awake.
Absolutely.
We all harmonize with our environments, and we have choice. So, yes, it's a beautiful thing to be able to say, I choose to align with those who are awakening to this truth.
Absolutely.
They're awakening to their authentic self.
And I choose, Melody said something else I want to underline. She talked about trust. I choose to trust my expansion rather than be afraid of it, because fear is what collapses us so quickly.
Fear is indeed the collapsing energy, and love will expand you. And we get to dance that one many, many times as we learn to anchor it.
Indeed we do.
So as we are coming to a close, I really appreciate what you've shared, Melody, as far as your advice to those that are waking up. And I want to remind everybody that we have been chatting with Melody Orion Swanson, who is the publisher of the Sedona Journal of Emergence. And you'll find their brightly colored covers in the
always stunning every month. Always stunning
at the magazine stands and online at www.sedonajournal.com.
Go check it out.
And if you're looking for an encyclopedia of alternatives, because I say that with my smile on my face, because it's still considered alternative, by the mainstream.
Let's just go beyond the labels.
If you're looking to inspire what is needed to ignite your truth, it's important that you look around, that you read, that you get stimulated.
Yeah.
Melody, before we say goodbye to you, is there any last thing you'd like to share?
No, I really appreciate you having me. This isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Well, thanks for your open mind and open-hearted spirit.
And thank you for your years of service, for everything that you have done. I mean, truly, I'm grateful that you allowed yourself to be with us today. Thank you so much, and thank you for
and
what you're doing.
You're now a radio personality.
That's it. Go for it. The Melody Hour.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Angel. Namaste.
And for all of our listeners, I want to remind you that we're here each and every Sunday to share sacred space with you, to explore concepts, creations, and spirituality.
Indeed. And hey, guys, get involved with our Twitter. Go ahead, and our handle is at Sri and Kira. And also get a hold of us at facebook.com, Sri and Kira Official. And join the fun.
In the coming weeks, we're going to be chatting with some other people who are truly experienced in this arena.
Yeah.
We have Robert Shapiro coming up in a couple of weeks.
We have Almeen on the show in September. We've got Patricia Cota Robles. We've got lots of people coming on board.
And we would invite you to have an open heart and an open mind as you broaden your community through this radio broadcast. And so, beloveds, we're at that time where, once again, we invite you to bring your hands to your heart. Feel the love that is inside of you. And until we have the joy of being with you live on air again, may you know that all is truly well.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.